The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
This morning, the tensions between Israel and Lebanon have escalated, with almost 500 people killed by Israel overnight. It marks the deadliest day of the Israel-Hezbollah conflict since the year 2006. And this morning, international leaders are weighing in on the developments, with the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi saying that China would firmly support Lebanon in safeguarding its sovereignty. Turkey has branded Israel's attacks as efforts to drag the region into chaos. Meanwhile, in the US, officials are planning discussions to come up with what they described as concrete ideas with allies and partners to prevent the war in the Middle East from broadening. Joining me now with analysis is Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at UCD. Scott, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, the baffling thing is Netanyahu saying, well, it's not baffling because we know what a two-faced man he is. We are not at war with the people of Lebanon. Our quarrel is with Hezbollah. So get out of the way. Leave your own homes, which you're entitled to live in, because we're coming.
I mean, look, Pat, you just cut through it, which is we're not at the war with people of Lebanon. But if we, as they did last Tuesday, detonate thousands of pagers of Hezbollah members, if you're a person in Lebanon who's nearby, you might get hurt. If we detonate walkie-talkies that are held by Hezbollah members and you're nearby, you might get hurt. If we bomb supposedly Hezbollah, but we hit your houses, we hit your public spaces, we hit your schools, yeah, you might get hurt. In fact, you might get killed. A lot of you might get killed. But hey, don't worry. Our war is not with you. You know, I'm sorry to sound so cynical, but look, this is an absolute sham here. For reasons we can discuss, why Netanyahu has decided to expand Israeli military operations in Lebanon, civilians will be, and remember that horrid word from the 1990s, collateral damage, and Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't care how many of those civilians die. Indeed, he doesn't even care if Lebanon falls apart as a country, as long as he can say that he is, quote, winning over Hezbollah.
Now, he will probably claim, when he eventually fetches up in New York this week, that they have a UN resolution on their side, that that part of southern Lebanon, which Hezbollah have once again infiltrated, was supposed to be a Hezbollah-free zone, thus ensuring the security of the Israelis living in northern Israel, that they would be free from routine Hezbollah rocket attacks. That's what he will say.
Yeah, he will say that. But the question is how do you maintain that zone in southern Lebanon and northern Israel? Do you do it through diplomacy? Do you do it through interaction? Which is something that, for example, Gideon Levy is calling for today, who's a significant, you know, a senior Israeli opinion writer at Haaretz. Or do you go in and bomb your way to supposedly clearing out that space, which includes, by the way, peacekeepers, including some Irish forces who are out there? The point here is that why Netanyahu has chosen this moment to expand these attacks, to cause the deadliest day in Lebanon since 1982, is far more significant here. And it's not because of that zone in southern Lebanon. It is because Benjamin Netanyahu has decided, given the problems he has with his open-ended, his forever war in Gaza, to go for a second front. And he's going to go for that second front to distract from Gaza, and he'll do that as long as he fears that Gaza could bring him down.
Now, it's interesting what the Americans are saying. A State Department official quoted on the basis of anonymity, saying that the Biden administration was focused on reducing tensions and breaking the cycle of strike, counter-strike, and going on to say, I can't recall, at least in recent memory, a period in which an escalation or intensification led to a fundamental de-escalation and led to profound stabilization of the situation. In other words, he doesn't believe what the Israeli tactics will bring about any kind of stability or de-escalation.
No, but what are they going to do about it? And there's another significant statement from a senior U.S. official, unidentified, of course, because this was given privately to the media, which is, we're against an Israeli ground operation in Lebanon. Ground operation. Not we're against the airstrikes, just the ground operation. And you and I, Pat, can repeat what we have just talked about with Gaza for almost a year, if the Americans are really serious about that, and if you want to limit what the Israelis are doing, then you cut the resources that you provide for Israel to do that, which includes the bombs that Israel will be using in Lebanon as they have been using in Gaza for almost 12 months.
Is the U.S. likely to find itself on the wrong side of history here?
A lot of people are on the wrong side of history here. We can focus on the United States because clearly the American administration, for all its private efforts to isolate Netanyahu, has failed to do so and publicly will not take the steps needed to protect civilians. It is a failure of the international community, which despite best efforts by members of that international community, have not been able to check this. It is a failure of Hezbollah, which has been a divisive, a fragmenting force within Lebanon and a provocative force against Israel. And of course, wrong side of history, those who claim never again within Israel, that never again should this happen, and then they wind up perpetrating never again with mass killings. They're all on the wrong side of history. There are no winners here, Pat. There are no good people out of this. There are just simply the civilians who have been killed by their tens of thousands since last October.
What is the likely outcome of this current phase? I mean, the Israelis are taking a risk that there won't be an escalation, an all-out regional war. They've made some sort of calculation. And so far, Hezbollah are not using the long-range precision-guided missiles they have at their disposal, which might be taken down by the Iron Dome, but some of them might get through to Israel's cities.
But I think the Israelis are willing to risk that. I mean, let's put this into proportion right now. It is, you know, Hezbollah has fired over 100 rockets into northern Israel today. So they will respond in kind. But of course, the proportions, just going back to last October, is that those rockets that Hezbollah have fired into northern Israel and Israeli-occupied Syria have killed 22 civilians. Now, any deaths of civilians is horrible, including the killing of, I think, 12 children in Israeli-occupied Syria from a rocket that went astray. But you put that against more than 500 people who will have been killed in 24 hours by Israel. And then you ask me what happens next. Look, Hezbollah is degraded. It's limited. Its communications have been broken by the pager and walkie-talkie attacks. It does not have the firepower the Israelis do. If it responds with a massive attack against Israel, it will probably further take Lebanon into the abyss. I think Iran is constrained right now with what it can do. I don't think they will have a significant missile strike to cause mass casualties in Israel because Israel will hit back. How long this goes on is in the gift, is in the bloody gift of Benjamin Netanyahu. How far does he want to go with this before he decides that, hey, I've punished Hezbollah enough where I can call victory?
Scott, thank you very much for joining us. Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.